Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, but there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. 800-531-3815. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Remember it when you get there. If you haven't already joined the happy throng of 10,000 who are subscribers to my free newsletter, you can do that at jbsba.com. And the feature article this week is called Branding and the Q. So check that out when you get a chance. Jonathan Zook is our guest. Jonathan's an old friend of ours, a longtime original member of our Brain Trust. He's the president of the Association for Competitive Technology, and he's our friend. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you.
One of the trusted brains.
That's right. And we're glad to have you back. And welcome back from across the pond.
Oh, yeah. I was over there speaking the French this last week.
You were speaking to the French?
No, I was speaking French.
In French?
Yeah. In Belgium.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't know Flemish, I was speaking French. I guess
that's
the answer there.
Well, I'm impressed. I know my audience is. Tell us what you...
It took a while to dredge it up from the ninth grade, but, you know, I was doing pretty well. Luckily, when I had to testify for the European Commission... I got to do that in English, though.
Oh, good. Well, now
it
tell us.
I be a little bit more articulate than I was debating European politics with taxi drivers and things like that.
Remind us what you were. I've told the audience about you going over to Brussels to testify, but tell us what you were doing.
Well, basically, now that the Microsoft antitrust trial is nearly done here in the U.S., a few of Microsoft's competitors, such as Sun and Real Networks, have gone over to Brussels to sort of change of scenery and have, you know, launched complaints there. And so there was a hearing about Microsoft in front of the European Commission. And I was there to kind of bring the small business perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about what happened. Give us a little idea about what was going on there.
Well, now this next statement's going to have to be full of beeps because the proceedings were entirely confidential.
Oh, okay.
So, it'll be something like, well, first there was beep, you know, but, I mean, in basic terms, there were a couple of accusations against Microsoft. One was that they didn't provide enough information or competing server vendors to connect their servers to Microsoft servers. And then the other had to do with whether or not they were killing off Real Networks, you know, the media player company.
Because Microsoft loads their media player with their operating system.
Right, exactly, because they load their media player with their operating system, and that's, you know, Real considers that unfair, you know, competition.
Even though when I got my brand new T41 IBM ThinkPad notebook computer, I immediately loaded Real Player onto my ThinkPad. It took about 4.5 minutes, and that's all I use. That's all
alone.
I use.
I mean,
that's all I use now.
Pretty well over there at Real, and they, you know, a lot of how they're doing it is through exclusive contracts with content providers like Major League Baseball. You ain't listening to that unless it's with the Real Player.
Right.
And Microsoft, as part of a function of its settlement with the Department of Justice, isn't even allowed to make those kinds of exclusive deals, you know, out there among the content providers. And, and the reality is that, you know, a lot of people are downloading real. A lot of people are downloading the newest version of Microsoft's media player. So the internet is really the distribution channel that's going to make the difference, not the desktop.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing on, I mean, I've got Windows XP 2000 Professional, and and there's nothing about that software, that operating system, that in any way, fashion, or form prevented or discouraged me from getting another a competitive player.
That's exactly right. I mean, and so
it was a non-event.
We've done some OEM deals with some computer manufacturers so that their PCs actually come with real networks. But the bottom line is that you know, the amount of people are sort of used to downloading now. If you think about how much music they download,
absolutely.
Things like that. They're just downloading Real Player in order to get some more content.
Jonathan, hold that thought. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back, folks, with Jonathan Zook. It's Tweety Tales. Stay with us.
Celebrating 6 years as radio's small business superhero, he's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
We're back at 17 till. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. We got Jonathan Zook, our guest and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, just back from Brussels, Belgium, and where you testified before. What court was it? Can you tell us what court you testified in front of?
Well, it's not technically a court, European Commission,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of the bureaucratic side of the European government, right? There's the European Parliament, which is the elected side, and that makes legislation, and then there's the European Commission, which is sort of does, regulation and enforcement.
Well, basically, what's happened, folks, is as you know, there was a big lawsuit and the US v. Microsoft case that we talked about on the show over the last several years, where Microsoft was deemed to be a monopoly, or they tried to prove that there was something that was a bad thing, and that Microsoft did some bad things, which they did some things that they shouldn't have done. I don't think there's any question about that. They did some heavy-handed, ham-fisted things, but regardless, that deal's been settled pretty much. And so now they're looking for new opportunities. These real network and Sun Microsystems are looking for new opportunities. So they've gone to Europe, and they've raised this issue primarily. One of the main things is about the player, the bundling of the player with the operating system, and Jonathan, you went over there. I guess it sounded to me like it was almost like a personal friend of the court type of thing.
That's exactly right. I mean, basically, the hearing involved a presentation by the European Commission, and then a presentation by Microsoft, and then there were sort of so-called interested third parties. And those are people that had filed briefs with the Commission saying, hey, we have an interest in the outcome of this case as well. And most of those people were a few of Microsoft's competitors that wanted to, gain some competitive advantage vis-a-vis Microsoft, Sun, Novell, Real, and those types, and then us, because our goal basically is to kind of protect the platform. We don't care so much about Microsoft as we do about Windows,
mm-hmm.
and the idea that the Europeans, after a 5-year trial in the U.S., would start this whole process over again and potentially pull code out of the operating system that developers of multimedia applications might be depending on to us as abhorrent.
Which leads us to why this case is, somebody out there right now, Jonathan, is saying, look, I'm a small business owner in America. What's this got to do with me? Tell us that.
Right. Well, IT businesses in particular, or software developers, might be building an application, either a custom application for you, or there may be a commercial application that you're using that makes use of the multimedia functionality that's in Windows. Like it's some sort of a training application or a distance learning application or a telecommuting application or a teleconferencing application.
We do it here all the time. The internet streaming products that we create here at Small Business Network, we do it all the time.
right, your custom players or whatever,
yes.
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if the European Commission had their way, then that functionality would be removed from Windows so that software developers' programs would break and they it would increase their costs, their testing costs, which, of course, would get passed on to small businesses and consumers. I mean, the way to think about it is imagine that the European Commission was able to remove all the printer drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the days when software came, you know, on two disks along with 15 disks of printer drivers, and every software had their own printer drivers, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you had to install them all and everything like that. I mean, it would be absurd to pull all the printer drivers out of Windows. But there was a time in which printer drivers were something you bought separately, so, you know, you could make that justification. TCP/IP, which is the protocol in Windows mm-hmm. that actually allows you to talk to the Internet.
Right.
That used to be something that you bought separately. You know, that could be pulled out of Windows then, so, you know, thereby crippling...
And that would,
you know,
that wouldn't just affect
trying to get on the browser.
That wouldn't just affect software developers. That would affect every user.
Well, all of this affects every user. It's just whether.
But
it's
I mean directly. It would affect us directly.
Yeah, exactly.
But folks,
I mean,
that,
you don't
Johnson,
want a pattern of, you know, people being able to just sort of pull functionality out of an operating system that you're using.
Folks, how this could affect you directly? One example is the more you learn how to leverage technology, and the more you understand how to leverage the Internet for your benefit from an efficiency standpoint or from a marketing standpoint, that you're gonna say, well, what about this? Can I do this? I'd like to do this. And you're going to say it to somebody who can actually do that. And it's probably going to be a small business information technology company. I know many of them. I do business with them. These are small companies just like mine. And I say, look, I'd like for this gray to be upside down with a hat on it, and I want it to dance around. And these guys go in and they do that. They do exactly what I ask them to do, and the they do it on the Windows platform, typically, don't they, Jonathan?
Yeah, often. I mean that's part of why Microsoft's in trouble, is because their platform's pretty popular.
Yeah, it's pretty, and not always. I mean, sometimes they use Linux. And
Macintosh,
exactly. But a lot of times, there's a lot of Windows out there, and many of you you're going to be talking to a person with Windows. And so, anyway, it's affecting you. It will affect you if there are unnecessary restrictions placed on Microsoft.
Made it illegal to sell a car with a radio in it, for example.
Right. Stand by, Jonathan. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. 10 till. Stay with us.
Down at the station. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Jim Ballard is going to help us deal with our customers. And then after that, Bob McTeer, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, a member of the FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee, is going to be with us to help us close out our sixth anniversary week. We got Jonathan Zook with us right now. He's with the Association for Competitive Technology. That's ACT Online, ACTOnline.org. And Jonathan, tell us about ACT.
Well, the Association for Competitive Technology is a IT industry trade association in Washington, and basically we, you know, educate and advocate on behalf of small IT businesses in Washington, and you know, try to keep a track of legislation that's coming down the pike and how it might adversely affect small businesses. I mean, we're fighting, you know, for and against a whole number of issues, such as you know, spam regulation or spyware regulation. I mean, I don't know if you've had a chance to talk about spyware on the show yet.
We haven't, but we can get into that in a minute. But that's the thing that
Internet taxation is another big issue.
Mm-hmm.
The Internet tax moratorium may not get renewed and things like that.
That I thought that was pretty much about to be a done deal, though, Jonathan.
The permanent tax moratorium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that might die.
Really.
Yeah,
I thought I'd quit worrying about that. I thought we'd put that one to bed, but
Who knew, right? I mean, that's the taxation in particular, because it's so important to the states, is the sort of whack-a-mole problem, right? Of small businesses everywhere, is that every time you think you've got it, like, there's a new tax coming up for something else. And there's some real discussion of not making that ban permanent, which would allow for discriminatory taxation of the internet.
Well, I thought they extended it. Didn't they extend it for a couple of years?
Not yet.
Hasn't happened yet, huh? Okay. I thought I'd quit worrying about that. I thought we'd got that one worked out. We've been working hard on the show on that one. So
yeah.
Anyway, well, folks, the thing is that it's, as I said earlier, earlier in the hour before Jonathan got here, I was pointing out some of the things that we all need to be paying more attention to is the public policy issues. Are the public policy issues that are involve technology, the internet, and the applications in this, and the capability that we use and that we leverage. I mean, this is, you know, Jonathan, something you and I heard Andre Carter, your good friend and member of your group, one of the members of ACT, say, and I've written about recently, is how the asset valuation of companies these days has changed over the last 20 years. 20 years ago, the asset valuation of a business was 70% hard assets and 30% intangible intellectual property assets. In 2003, those numbers have reversed.
Yeah, it's more
and
like
all
80%
those,
intellectual capital now, yeah.
I meant to say 80. It's 80-20, not 73. It's 80-20. And the thing is that... all that's based on technology. That 70-80% is largely
a lot
stored.
Of technology, but it's all intellectual capital, and so that the need to protect that transcends technology industry. I mean, part of it has to do with our workforce being a lot more transient right
now, right?
Right. I mean, you hold on to employees for 3 years at a time instead of 30. And all they really leave behind for value for your business is that intellectual capital, that process
That's
they
right.
implemented, or a logo they designed. I mean, all those things are intellectual capital.
And it's created, stored, and transmitted on and used on some technology. And this is the reason why, folks, that I really encourage you to find out what groups like Jonathan's Association for Competitive Technology and others are doing. Some of them are doing things for you, and some of them are doing things to you. And we need to know how all this affects our small businesses, because, Jonathan, every tick of the clock that puts us into the future, we're becoming more and more dependent upon technology, and we've got to make sure that the policymakers don't screw with that to the point where they can harm our marketplace.
Exactly right.
Give us the website.
So the law of unintended consequences. Nowhere is it more true than in Washington and state capitals everywhere.
Absolutely. Give us the website one more time.
Two websites of importance. One is the ACT website, actonline.org, actonline.org, and netchoice.org.
Yeah, NetChoice, that's right. We talked about that before with Steve Del Bianco. Thanks, Jonathan. Good to have you here. See you later. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I promise I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.